Hey everyone. Election season is coming up. We are now less than 12 months away from deciding who our next president will be. It's wild. During this time, there's going to be great discussion over our current system of electing the president and whether or not changes need to be made. This was a critical issue in 2016, when Donald Trump won the nomination while receiving just 46% of the national popular vote. While Clinton received 3 million more votes, it still was not a majority. This raises debate over the best method to elect our president. The candidate with a smaller percentage of popular vote has won just 5 times in the history of this country. This has been a critical issue lately as 2 of our last 3 presidents did not receive the plurality of votes, Trump in 2016 and George W. Bush in 2000. Because of this, the Electoral College has been under a lot of scrutiny as of late, and calls have been made to reform the system, specifically to change it to a national popular vote. I'm here to say that this would not be the best direction for America to go, and that the Electoral College is the best system of electing the president. In order to better understand this issue, we must first look at the history of the system and understand why we even used the Electoral College in the first place. It was established in the Constitution to take power away from the majority and have a small group of electors decide on the president. Firstly, this was a key component of making us a republic. We elect people to represent our beliefs. Our founding fathers feared giving too much direct control to the people, so having a smaller elected group to represent us would be the best of both worlds. Secondly, it gives more power to the smaller states. The number of electoral votes for each state comes from the total members of the House of Representatives and Senate added together for that state. While the Electoral College does allow for faithless electors to go against the will of the people and vote for whichever candidate they choose, the primary criticisms lie within the number of electors from each state. Smaller states have a relatively greater representation than larger states, with each vote being worth more electors. The main counterargument against the Electoral College is that smaller states have a greater proportion of representation than larger states do. This is because the number of electors, as previously stated, is the same amount as the state has members in the House of Representatives plus the amount that they have in the Senate. And while state's number of representatives is different based on the population of that state, each of them gets 2 senators, no matter their size. This levels the playing field, requiring that all states have at least 3 electors. The argument then comes in to the point where 1 vote in a smaller state is worth relatively more electoral votes than 1 vote in a larger state. Now, if a state's electors distributed their votes based on the percentage that their state went for, then it would make more sense. But since all electors from one state are supposed to vote the same way, then it wouldn't quite matter as much. Because if a candidate gets the plurality of votes in one state, then they get all of the votes from the electors within that state. That means that each vote by the people voting for president goes towards getting the candidate towards that limit of having more than any other candidate, which isn't a specific number anywhere. Could be different depending on each state, depending on each year. There's no set number for that. So this is heavily volatile. It means that votes aren't worth anything, and you can't assign a specific number, a specific percentage, to how much one person's vote is worth. This leads me into my first positive of the Electoral College, that it does represent the beliefs of smaller states better. The Electoral College ensures that these rural areas will have a more significant say in elections than a national popular vote would. People who live in the same area generally tend to vote similarly. So, like, for example, people living in a larger coastal city are much more likely to agree with each other on issues than they are to agree with people living in, say, the rural Midwest on those same issues. If we move to a straight-up national popular vote, the views of these population centers would dominate elections, leaving small areas out to dry. Candidates would have zero reason to visit these areas, leaving them virtually unrepresented in the government. The president would have to support the views of the majority if he or she wishes to be reelected, and these smaller town citizens would be damaged heavily. The policies that help large cities would probably hurt small towns, the backbones of this nation. These communities, which already struggle with issues such as trade wars and energy production, would be hurt even more since their needs would not be fulfilled by the president. For example, the recent tariffs on China have damaged farmers while supposedly helping larger manufacturing areas. If we were to continue to go in this direction, then the severity of these issues could get even worse. The Electoral College makes sure that the president has national support, one that lots of Americans across the country can agree with. All right, hey, what's going on? We are back here with two guest speakers who are here to give their opinions on the topic.
I'm Alex Stewart. I'm a senior at Central High School.
My name is Jacob Ball. I'm also a senior at Central.
So these two students are currently in AP government, currently learning about politics and stuff like that. So we're here to get their opinions on the issue with us at hand on the Electoral College. So Alex, would you start off by giving just what you think about the issue?
Yeah, I feel like we don't need the Electoral College. I feel like just a popular vote would be a better like representation of the people and what the people in America want. And it's also kind of outdated. It's something that goes way back. And I feel like we have better means of vote counting and collecting nowadays than we did back then.
All right, Jake, what do you think?
All right, so I think the Electoral College is a very good system in place. It gives the small states equal votes and an equal voice in government. Also, this system's been used for 200 years, and it's had, one or two minor flaws that Congress has backed up and gone around. So I don't see why there needs to be any change.
All right, so good points by both of you. Alex, you first. So you, like many others who are opponents of the Electoral College, propose a change from the Electoral College to go to like a national popular vote. So just how do you think that would change like the overall scope of elections, like affecting voter turnout or government policies to these smaller rural areas?
So this would improve minority voters in non-swing states, especially because they would have their voice heard a bit more. So typically, if you're in a non-swing state, you know the way the state's going to vote. And if you're the minority party, you're probably just going to be discouraged and might not even show up to vote because you know that the state's already going to vote in a certain way. So this way, this would give more of a voice to those people. And additionally, they would also be encouraged to vote more throughout the nation, these minority parties, and because their voice would be heard more and their vote would count for more.
So going against that kind of, with popular vote, what do you see for farmers and like people who live in rural areas? Aren't their votes just going to be drowned out by the heavy Democratic cities, like, and just the large population densities there?
Yeah, so this is kind of a topic that's been addressed, and this was actually addressed by the Supreme Court not too long ago with the whole one man, one vote. So really, it might seem as though they're getting outnumbered, but overall, it's throughout the nation, and each person has the same amount of, same voting influence.
All right, Alex, so for, like, the anti-electoral college argument, the main position is a national popular vote. So one of, the main, points of that is that it would be increasing the prevalence of third-party candidates and their effect on the outcomes of the elections. So how do you think that this national popular vote would affect third-party candidates and runnings?
Yeah, obviously we see more of a voter turnout for these third-party candidates, and this is a good thing for the nation as a whole in history when third-party candidates are more represented. And it's seen throughout history that when this happens, we usually go through a period of reform, which is usually a positive thing, and can bring new ideas and different ideas to the table than what is traditionally there.
So while third-party voters bring more new ideas, it also creates a lot more division across the U.S., and it forces people to take more extreme views. And that's something that the Electoral College kind of fixes, because with third-party voters in the Electoral College, their ideas are heard and adapted by Democrat and Republicans and just adapted into it. So their ideas are still heard. And that's something that could just be lost with just extreme sides with popular vote.
All right. Well, great discussion that both of you had here today. Thank you for spending your time on the podcast today. And thank you very much. the main proposed alternative to the Electoral College is to switch to a national popular vote. This would change the vote to be carried out on a national level, making the candidate who receives the highest percentage of the vote the winner. Now, this argument is said to make the process more democratic, but first off, we are not a true democracy. We have similar features to a representative democracy with leanings closer to a true republic than to true democracy. But back to the national vote, it sounds great in theory, but once you start to look at it more closely, it wouldn't work quite as great as hoped. My main issue with this alternative is the fall of the two-party system. Now, us Americans don't really like the system. We can't stand constantly listening to the two sides arguing with each other. But there are benefits to the system. These parties must adopt platforms that a very large portion of the population agrees with. So they must take stances that are popular throughout the country. They must also stay relatively moderate in case the other party gains control in order to win votes from the other side. These two parties help to keep each other in check, and for the most part, it's done just fine. Now, with a national popular vote, this system would go away. The first thing that would happen would be the rise of third-party candidates. Like mentioned in our previous discussion, third parties aren't always a bad thing. They can help bring new issues to the table that are beneficial to the country as a whole, but this instance would not work quite the same way. The Electoral College has always deterred these third-party candidates from running, but with a national popular vote, they would immediately be encouraged to run. Because of this, there would likely be a significant rise in the number of candidates for the presidential office. While this would provide us citizens with a better selection, the end implications would be very rough on the country as a whole. Like I stated at the beginning, there was an outrage when Trump won with just 46% of the national vote, but that would be a rarity if we changed to a popular vote. Plurality is a word that I've used many times throughout this episode. It essentially just means that a candidate has gotten the highest percentage of the vote without receiving a true majority of higher than 50%. If we were to switch to a national popular vote, this term would become significantly more relevant. With more candidates running for president as a result of the rise of these third parties, we would not get anywhere close to a true majority. There could be times when the president wins with, you know, less than a third, maybe even 10% of the national vote. This becomes even less democratic than the Electoral College if the president can't even be supported by, say, 90% of citizens in the country. More candidates running would also force them to take extremist positions in order to differentiate themselves from one another with similar views. Additionally, more celebrities and unqualified candidates would have a better shot at winning. If many candidates run, then as long as someone has, say, a high support from highly concentrated areas, they could have a realistic shot at winning, completely ignoring most of the country. A national popular vote could easily cause chaos throughout the country with a fall of the two-party system. The system for electing a president will never be perfect. We all have different needs as citizens and will always disagree with who we believe should be president. The Electoral College is the best system for this, though. There has been a popular analogy that's been brought up regarding the Electoral College, comparing it to the Baseball World Series. In baseball, the team that wins the series is the one who wins the most games. If they can win a simple majority of 4 out of the 7 games, then they win the series. Within each individual game, the team that scores more runs wins the game. Scoring runs and limiting the opponent's runs is very important, but the team who has the most runs throughout the series is not necessarily guaranteed to win. Candidates winning large in some games or states does not give them a very major advantage, as they still have to go win over other states. Obviously, this analogy isn't perfect, and there are lots of other factors that go into each of them, but it does help shed light on the importance of gaining national support, not just in a few concentrated areas. A national vote would almost completely ignore the will of people from smaller areas, causing our economic and domestic growth to significantly weaken. As we approach November 3rd, 2020, there are going to be more and more discussions about the relevancy of the Electoral College. Comparing it to the other alternatives of electing the president showed just how well the Electoral College currently works. Our main priority should be keeping our country equitable and fair, ensuring that the president is one who lots of Americans across the country can agree with. The reasons that our founding fathers implemented this Electoral College system still stand today. I'm Michael Thiemann, and thanks for listening.